the three rays, the Triskel?
Well, the three rays are kind of the Triskel, yes. They're the Triskel, they're a bit like what Phil's just described, the Triskel in action. So they're an alternative way to look. So there you're looking at the three rays of the hour in operation, weaving in and out of each other. And in a way, you know, so this whole idea of Menu, son of Tiberwerth, beholds the springing of the light, and its form and appearance was not otherwise than this. And three, and the image of the three rays in three columns. And in the three rays of light, the vocalizations. For one were the hearing and the seeing, one unitedly, the form and the sound. And one unitedly with the form and the sound was life, and one unitedly with these was power, which power was God the Father. And since each of these was one unitedly, he understood that every voice and hearing and living and being and sight and seeing were one unitedly with God, nor is the least thing other than God. And by seeing the form and in it hearing the voice, not otherwise, this is an important sentence, and by seeing the form and in it hearing the voice, so by seeing the form and hearing the creative voice which brings the form into being, not otherwise, he knew what form and appearance the voice should have. And having obtained earth unto him, co-instantaneously with the light. So this sense of the light and the sense of light and form. And this is like quantum physics almost. It's like the kind of the matter becoming light and the co-instantaneous experience of form and light. Experiencing light, experiencing earth under him. And having experienced earth under him co-instantaneously with the light, he drew the form of the voice and light. On the earth. And it was on hearing the sound of the voice, which had in it the kind and utterance of three notes, that he obtained the three letters, and knew the sign that was suitable to one and other of them. Thus he made the form and sign the name of God, after the semblance of rays and lights, and perceived that they were the figure and the form and signs of life. One also with them was life, and in life was God. That is to say, God is one with life, and there is no life but God. There is no God but life. And it was from the understanding thus obtained in respect of this voice that he was able to assimilate mutually every other voice so as to kind quality and reason, and could make a letter suitable to the utterance of every sound and voice. Thus was obtained the Cymraeg in every other language, and it was from the three primary letters that were constructed every other letter, which is the principal secret of the bards of the Isles of Britain, and from this secret comes every knowledge of letters that is possible. So this kind of sense of now that the particular quality that we know about Menu, the son of Tiberwerth, is he can take any shape. And he can take any shape because he is attuning himself to the deep root of things, to that this presence of creation that's manifesting, that's coming out of the center point of ourselves, the center point of the universe. And what Menu is able to do is to look at any shape, any form, any being, no matter how small or large. And by paying real attention to it, listen to the voice within that. And from that, by listening to that voice, can trace that form, that particular shaping, back to the origin place within the divine name. And then this experience happens of the co-instantaneous experience of light and earth, of matter and light, of formlessness and form. So this is that capacity that the bards have to be absolutely part of the deep weaving of things. And this is this fractal awareness that they're talking about, where each thing is divine. But you, in order to discover that, you have to listen. So in a way, this capacity, these two principles they work with. Principles of the Tao, which is this stillness, and that is like a kind of a deep listening to it, the stillness of listening to a deep river at night, and allowing the kind of in that stillness to notice deeply the beginnings of movement. Now that quality of stillness, that containment of stillness, that immovability of stillness, then meets the active creative energy of the Awen. This moving spirit, this fiery spirit, this kind of shaping spirit. And then, and what's being explored really through the development of these qualities is this the interplay between firm appearance, the way how things appear, and anyan, the root, the essence of these things. And that's what we see playing out in these stories of the Mabinogion. So there's a great deal here about shape-shifting, transformation, the appearance of things. And then the establishing of these kind of principles. So when, when a bard would study the Mabinogion, he or she would contemplate it little by little, each of the different sections, but they would have as this guiding principle this idea of working with Tao and working with Awen, and contemplating this interplay of firm and anyan, so as to deepen their own capacity to understand that.
You've really given, with reading the Bhavas, which I've never read, and I've only ever heard of Golo Maganag in kind of, not insulting, but, it always comes up first that he's a bit of a forgery and he made things up, and he surely did, but this really casts a different light on what he did, didn't it?
Completely.
Someone who just created a load of stuff and said it was old and everyone was fooled, is a profundity. You can almost see that you can kind of forgive him almost, particularly as he got found out. But this personal gnosis, he wasn't just writing something to try and get famous. It was a profundity there that maybe he just felt he had to say it was old so people would accept it. Probably, particularly at a time, was probably even less forgiving of unverified personal gnosis, and the scholars would have been even more damning of it. So very interesting that he went so deep.
I think he did. Well, I think, and also I think he genuinely believed that he was working with this very ancient tradition, the thing that is complicated about all this is that, these things, a lot of these things were in the time in Yolo and in the centuries before Yolo, these things will have been transmitted orally and So I think when you look at Bhavadas, it's easy to, to poke fun at, but actually when you pay attention to some of the structures, they're coherent structures, they're coherent contemplative structures, and they work, so what he's doing is not, so he's done something that's quite serious, that's quite important, and which really helps us with then looking into, those of us who are interested in looking into the, feel like the deeper meaning of the Mabinogi, and the kind of, one of the things that's always interesting to me about it is it helps me to not get lost in, I love the imagery of it, but you can get lost in it very easily. And so these structures help me to orientate myself as I'm exploring the different aspects of the four branches in particular, really. Okay, I'm going to go on now to look a little bit at, actually I'll stop this and start it again because that's it.